Amen. You may be seated. We'll turn in our Bibles to Joel chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. All right, here we go. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Now, we've been cooking on this topic since the early 50s, Thank God it's come out in other places, songs and things. And so we know it's a revelation of the Lord. Also, it appears many times in the scriptures. And we talked Tuesday about that the warning is blown in Zion. The warning is blown in Zion. And in connection with that is Isaiah chapter 33. Verse 14. Now we are talking about the day of the Lord, the parousia, the appearing of Jesus. And in Isaiah 33:14, sinners in Zion. Now you can see how that will be, because there'll be a lot of people called by the name of the Lord when he comes, who will not be ready. One of the reasons they will not be ready is because of the teaching that if we accept Jesus, our behavior doesn't matter, we're saved by grace. That, of course, is a terrible error. And you can see the condition that it will leave the church in. People will expect the Lord to welcome them with open arms, but the problem is, they will not be facing just Jesus, but they will be facing people who are part of the parousia. You remember it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear. Now, these ye comprise people from the dawn of time. And Enoch prophesied of these people, Jude tells us. It's not all of God's elect that will come. Jude says 10,000s of his saints. And these are people that God has run through the mill. We have a type of them in David's mighty men. This idea of mighty men taken out from Israel appears in several places, not only in Gideon's army and the mighty men, but Jude's 10,000, but in other places there's this concept of a first fruits drawn off from the church. There are many examples of this in the scripture. These first fruits of Israel, this advance guard of commandos or whatever you want to call them. And the problem with these people is that they are, like Jeremiah, they have really been through the mill with God, and they are not all that patient with foolishness. You know, if we were just facing God the Father, that would be one thing. If we were just facing Jesus, that would be another thing. But the problem is this great people and strong. The problem is these people who are going to appear, and God, through Jesus, is going to give them the authority to, what shall I say, they put up with persecution from the churches all their life, and in many times have been martyred by the churches. And these are not people to trifle with. They are not the average Christian. They are people who have been crucified until they cried out like Jeremiah, who said, "I wished I was never born." Now, to get a person to the place where they say, "I wished I was never born," a person of the stature of Jeremiah, he's been treated pretty hard. The apostles of Jesus were treated pretty hard. The saints through the ages have been treated pretty hard. Now, we have a comfy, cozy, little charismatic movement that is worlds away from people like Jeremiah crying out they'd wish they'd never been born. So all through the ages, God has drawn out a church, and out from the church, he has found people who are willing to put up with God and with his rough dealings. Now, people like that are not common. And when God comes to the average charismatic person, he asks him to give up something like their Isaac, there's no use God wasting his breath. They're not going to give up anything that they really want. They're not going to give up anything that they really want. And so God doesn't waste his time with people when he knows. But the point is this. He does have people like that from every generation. And this is the army that is coming. And these are kind of untouchables. That is, they have suffered so much at the hand of God. You suffer enough at the hand of God, and it does something to you inside. It gives you a kind of a recklessness, because you figure there's nothing anybody can do to me anymore. I simply don't care. And the further we go down this path of suffering, the more conniving becomes, when people are not sincere, it becomes obvious. We all trick one another all the time with our cunning, but if you suffer enough, you just get sick of it, and you just want to go to be with the Lord. And people that are not sincere, there's nothing you can do. They just wait and pray that God will move them into his righteous ways. And that's the kind of people that are coming. The day is not terrible because God has come, or because Jesus has come. It's because these people are come. It is the parousia, which means parousia, as far as I can see from studying the context, the way the word is used, plus the Greek, doesn't mean so much as coming from a far distance as it does mean being present. And the word parousia is used in 2 Peter, where Peter is referring to the Mount of Transfiguration. And he said, we were with him in the holy mountain at his parousia. It's translated coming. We saw the power and parousia. King James says the power and the coming of our Lord. And yet in the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus didn't come from a distance. It's that what he was, or what he is, was suddenly present. And see, Jesus hasn't gone out beyond the galaxies. Jesus is present with us. Lo, I am with you always. But in his coming, in his parousia, it will be that which we cannot see will be made visible. It's not altogether just a manifestation. There's another Greek word for manifestation. But it's the idea of that which is not available to us now is suddenly comes and is made available. And that would have to be because, you see, there will be people who are alive when the Lord comes. Do you believe that? There'll be people alive. And these people will be part of the parousia, and yet they haven't come from anywhere. But what is in them is not available to the world or visible to the world. But when the Lord comes, it will be. So there'll be a parousia of them also, even though they haven't come from heaven. And it will all be part of one presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord. We need to think about that, because we think sometimes the Lord is way off. The Lord is not way off. The Lord is at hand. But he's not available, and he's not here in bodily form. And as parousia, he will be here in bodily form, and we will be changed, and we will be here in bodily form. And so in Romans, it talks about the manifestation. The creation is not waiting for the manifestation of Jesus. It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so the parousia of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, is much more than the coming of Jesus. It is the coming of the great people and the strong, because they will be the ones who deal with the peoples of the earth, particularly with the sinners in the churches. God's way is to recompense. If you're down, God brings you up. If you're up, God brings you down. We see that in the rich man and Lazarus. When God moved, Lazarus went down, the rich man went up. Now, God loves to put beggars on the throne, and one thing that he is going to do is the people who have been persecuted shall become the judges. The shoe will be on the other foot. God is a great one for putting the shoe on the other foot. So while most of the church people have sing and danced and played like the three little pigs, there has been this group who are misfit, who cry to God, who are utterly sincere, who hate the church game. That is, they hate the hypocrisy and the nicey-nice and the conniving. They just hate it. And they want to be with God, and they want sincerity, and they want forthrightness. And God says, okay, you suffered now all this time. Now you will be in the catbird seat. And the rest of them will be, woe be gone, and wishing they weren't born. Now, God's great for that kind of thing. Putting the shoe on the other foot. See, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So, the problem is that the church will be facing these people, not Jesus. Not God, but these people. That's why when Jude is talking about the phonies in the church, he doesn't say the Lord's going to come and do something about it. He says the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints who will do something about it. Convict all them that are ungodly of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. So in Isaiah 33:14, the sinners in Zion. Now, of course, this revealing of the manifestation of the sons of God, Joel's army, will affect the whole earth. But it will begin in the church. Judgment begins in the church. Jesus today is judging us. When we have been judged and have got all the corruption out of us, then we will judge the rest of the church. And that's what's going down. That's what's going down. That's what's happening. That's why we're here this morning. And I'm not giving to you an introduction, 3 points, and a conclusion, but I'm talking to you like a Dutch uncle. And the reason is because there is an issue. And this isn't the time to go through church folderol. There's something to be said. The trumpet is blowing. Trembling has seized the godless. Who among us can live with a consuming fire? Now, our God is a consuming fire. People say God is love. He is. God is a spirit. He is. God is also a consuming fire, and you can't walk with him by grace. You can have your sins forgiven by grace, but to walk with God, you have to walk in fire. And that fire tries everything in us that is not of Christ. Everything in us is flammable. The good parts of us, of which there is a lot, and the bad parts of us, of which there is a lot. All of it burns when it gets near God. We call it conviction. The best prayer I think we can pray each day for ourselves and for our loved ones is, God, send the fire on us. Now, you may not hasten to that idea, but to avoid the fire of God is only to prolong the situation. It's going to come sooner or later. So if you have a mind as I do, I like to get things over with. I like to save the dessert to last, not eat it first. So a very good prayer to pray for yourself and your loved ones is, Lord, send the fire on us. Send your fire on us. And then believe that he's going to do that. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And it comes against everything in us that is of Satan. Everything in us that is of self. There's a difference between Satan and self. Satan are the sins that dwell in our flesh. But self is our ego, the core of our personality that makes the decisions. And before we suffer in God, it is terribly self-seeking and in love with itself and proud. And God has to bring us through a lot of fire before he ever gets to that conniving Jacob center of our nature. When he does, we see ourselves. I've been reading some books by a man named A.J. Cronin lately. He's not a religious writer, so don't expect to read like something from the Bible bookstore. It doesn't. But I notice in this man, he's a very skillful writer, writes usually about doctors, because he is a doctor, was a doctor if he's passed away. But one of his main topics, if not the main topic, is the journey that a man goes through from a phony to a real person. And this appears over and over. One of them the other night, I took back to the library. I couldn't stand it. It was about a man who had made a commitment to a young lady and got her all involved. And then through a series of circumstances, he got involved with another young lady. And here the first one's waiting. And oh, it's very involved. But he's able to bring out so clearly the way a man starts. I don't know anything about ladies, they are so complicated, I don't even want to discuss them. But men move through a couple of simple things. And they start off, some of us start off, really phony. That's the best you can say for it. It's really phony. And then as different things happen in life, we are put to the test. And then we decide either we're going to be a person of integrity and faithfulness, or we are going to continue to play the game. And it's a very basic choice we make. So God is in this game. Because becoming a Christian doesn't affect this situation. If you're a phony, you'll be a phony as a Christian. If you're in love with yourself and proud, you'll be that way after you're converted. So the churches are full of this. We need to realize it, even though the ministry goes on and things are done and the Lord's call is there, yet by and large the church is a self-seeking, self-loving situation until God brings us to that issue. What are you going to do about these things that you have managed to gloss over in your self-love and have skated around slippery than an eel? There comes a day when God takes that eel fork and, boy, he pins you. Now, what are you going to do? Who are you anyway? Do you know? And we think, Lord, and I thought I was a tremendous specimen here, tremendous person. And God says, you're nothing but a slippery eel. You will betray people and then justify yourself. Isn't that so, eel? He didn't call Job anything as grandiose as an eel. He pinned him. And out of Job's own mouth came the testimony of God, I am a worm. Until we get there, we can't walk with the fire. Who among us can live with continual burning? He who walks righteously. Now that includes honor and honesty, truthfulness, integrity, dependability, walks righteously. Grace doesn't fit in here. Whatever. Grace is another issue. And speaks with sincerity. Says what he means up front. No cunning. Just, there it is. This is it. This is where I am. Speaks with sincerity. Well, you can't get on in today's world, Brother Thompson. Yes, you can. Just because we have a nation of liars, that hasn't changed God. I drove into the gas station the other day. In that station, always get your gas and then pay. No more. She's yelling at me, pump 14. I was sitting there, why doesn't this thing work? She says, you have to pay first. Sign up the window. I said, since when? He says, well, people have been driving off. What a jungle. What a jungle. What an abomination in an educated nation. To get your gas and drive off without paying. I think you did something. He who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity, who rejects unjust gain. He's watching. Where does my gain come from? Am I doing something here that's not right? Am I robbing people? Unjust gain. It isn't what you can get away with. You've got to answer to God. Some poor clerk in a store undercharges you $100 or something. How do you think it's going to look for her at the end of the day when they go through her receipts? Give her the money. Tell her. You did not do this thing right. You undercharge yourself. That's part of righteousness. You say, oh, the Lord knew I needed the money. That's what Jacob says. He's a master at this thing. Yeah, this serves her right. She probably cheated somebody. And shakes his hand so that they hold no bribe. That is, he cannot be bought. Does anybody have a handle on you? Watch it. Be careful of that. Make sure that you're your own person. And you're not dancing with somebody else's pipes. They've got something over you, go for broke. They'll say, all right, this is what I'm going to do. Now do whatever you're going to do. They go, I'm not dancing to your tune. No bribery. He stops his ear from hearing about bloodshed. Now, there's one to type out and scotch tape on your telephone. And somebody starts in with something, you know. Do you know that if you hear something about someone and repeat it, it's the same as though it were a fact? Because that person listens and they pass that on to someone else. And the person could be completely innocent, but the damage is done. And often it can never be retracted. If you're listening on the phone while somebody's filling you in with the local dirt, you picture Jesus standing there and see if he's pleased with that. Now, that may be your favorite indoor sport. If it is, come up this morning. Let me tell you, it's a devil. And when you gossip or listen to it, you're kissing the devil on the mouth. Now, you need to know that. Stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed. Shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. It's something that you do. You don't wait for God to shut your eyes. God has given you muscles in your head that will operate your eyelids. You shut your eyes. It's the gospel of the feet. The gospel of the feet. Your feet will take you out of many problems if you will move them, instead of seeing how close you can get to hell. Walk away from it. Just walk. It takes a little effort. And pray like 60. There's a lot of temptation today. The air is polluted. And God has given us feet. Flee from evil. Don't expect the kids to do it. We've got to do it. He will dwell on the heights, this person. His refuge will be the impregnable rock. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. That's Jesus. They will behold a far distant land. We're going to need that in the day to come. We're going to have to be citizens of two worlds. When we see the carnage, when we see the bloodshed, the earthquakes, and things that are coming, we're going to have to be able to see into another world. We're going to have to realize, well, things are shook up down here, but we're okay because God is still in his heaven. But you don't see that if you're unrighteous. Because in the case of unrighteousness, calamity will only bring it out and make it worse. Today is the time to stop the ears from blood, to get the victory over the little foxes that spoil the vine, the little sins that we do as church people. This is the day to put your foot on the head of it and crush it. Stop it. Because when this army begins to march, it is not a wounded savior that you're facing, but people like yourself who have been through it and who have rejected it. Back to Joel. Blow a trumpet. That's what we're doing this morning. Not a violin, not a harmonica, not sensuous ballads, but a trumpet. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Now, the New Testament says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why should we do that if Jesus died for our sins and we accepted him? What occasion is there for trembling? The occasion is that we are constantly being bombarded with wrong stuff and provoked and encouraged and invited to do what is wrong. It goes on constantly. Worse than that, some of it is so deceptive that it gets to us when we don't even know that it's got to us. And so we tremble lest we miss God. And if you don't tremble, but are walking in smugness and assurance, you're not doing what the Bible says. It says, work it out with fear and trembling. If you don't do that, you are not obeying the Lord. And he said, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Have you been praying that? That's a commandment. Okay? For the day of the Lord, it is never plural. And so in the teaching of the rapture, the teachers understand that there's a day when the Lord is going to come and punish the world, but they don't ever teach about it. They never teach about it because it's something they do not understand. All they understand is we're going to be caught up in clouds. That is a wrong teaching. There are not 2 days of the Lord. There's only the day of the Lord, and that is the day when the Lord comes with his saints. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, not to go to heaven with him, but to return with him to judge the ungodly of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Because see, it has to start in the church. And the church that thinks it's going to be caught up when the Lord returns is incorrect. We don't get caught up unless we have oil. We don't get caught up unless we have the oil of God dwelling in us and are living by his life. The resurrection is not in doctrine. It's not in what you believe. It's in the body and blood of Jesus. In order to be eligible and competent for the resurrection when Jesus comes, you have to be living by his body and blood. And how do you do that? Every day you go through the process where God brings you down and then raises you up by his body and blood, of which the communion service is a representation. But we're supposed to be receiving his body and blood every day, and we do when we are going through the process of death and resurrection. But if we are avoiding this process, we are not living by his body and blood. We are living by fleshly food only, and man can't live that way. And when the Lord comes, I don't care how much we believe in Jesus, we are not going to go. The Lord knows those who are his. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. What a day, what a day, what a day when the Lord's first fruits are gathered together. Not a phony in the house. Every one of them, having been through death and resurrection, no self-seeking, none jockeying for position, jockeying for the advantage. This thing goes on eternally. The tilting of swords, gone. But a people pure because the Lord has broken their hearts and filled them with his own life and his own love. Why, that the unity of that group, the unity of it. Surely it is near. Joel says, what, 2,800 years ago or so. Surely it is near. A day of darkness and gloom. Why is it darkness and gloom? It's darkness and gloom because of the sin on the earth. Boy, it's dark now. People, it's going to get darker. It isn't getting any better. Have you noticed that? It isn't getting any better. It's going to get worse. Darkness and gloominess on the people over the whole earth. Spiritual darkness. A day of clouds and thick darkness. You read in the 18th Psalm, you see that's the way God operates. God comes in the clouds and he comes in the darkness and hides himself. doesn't reveal himself. As the dawn is spread over the mountains, you look out here sometime, get up and look to the east here, there's water in the air, and so there's some beautiful sunrises these days in this area, if you notice them. Anybody even notice them going to work? They're spectacular. They're spectacular. They catch the sun's about 6:45 or so, something like that. You see, the sun is hitting that water, and you can see it on the mountain, the dawn spreading on the mountain. No artist could ever paint those colors that God does with sunlight and a little water vapor. It is so beautiful. It's the morning spread upon the mountains, the hope of better things to come. So there is a great and mighty people. So if this is a great people and a great people and a strong, they have to be created somewhere. Because the churches today are not great people and strong, they're babes. And that's all? Babes in the Lord. They love entertainment and fellowship and jump around. They're the great people. Where are they coming from? Don't forget that throughout history, the church has been baptized with fire again and again and again. Many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people martyred, tortured, broken on the rack, every conceivable kind of thing happening to them. See, we're not just dealing with the charismatic church in America. Man, that'd be fortunate if God gets 10 out of the whole country. This is talking about over the course of time, a great people and a strong. Wow, you don't want to be on the business end of that thing. A great people and a strong. Love Jesus with all their might, have died for him, have been tortured for him, have lived a life of self-denial, cross-carrying obedience for him. Where do you think the soft, sloppy, greasy, gracie, agape group in America today is going to fit next to these heroes of God, the Scotch Covenant, as I've mentioned, and they're just but one group out of many that have had to be tortured for the gospel's sake, even today in some countries. These people that have lived without their families, without anything, thin, emaciated. This is the kind of people you can imagine facing this kind of person. I have no sympathy with the flesh. A great people and a strong. There has never been anything like it. Never in man's history has there been anything like the coming of the army of the Lord. You know, when you look at the world today, it's going to take something of this magnitude, isn't it? You know, you read the paper, somebody tries to do a little something in righteousness, immediately he's slapped down in the courts. Immediately people raise up, and they're just shot down in the courts, and so they have nothing. It's going to take, can you imagine the resistance on the part of a pleasure-loving nation when a group of people come and say, you must worship Jesus, you can't do these things. People that have been used to suing and having their own way, no matter what. The rich that are behind the scenes and manipulate things to their own liking. And the sons of God ferret them out and bring them in front of the fire of God. Oh, I'm telling you, the blood's going to run the streets. It says in Revelation, for 300 miles to the depth, up to the height, I should say, of a horse's bridle. Blood. Because people will not agree to righteousness. They will not agree to it. Nor will there be again after it, to the years of many generations. A fire consumes before them. You see what a silly doctrine the rapture is? How silly it is? What are they going to do? If the people are raptured up, what are they going to do? Not what we're being trained for. That's not what we're being prepared for. We're being prepared for this fire. We're either generating it or being hit with it. One or the other. And behind them a flame burns. They judge everything. They destroy everything. How can this be? This is nothing like I ever heard in my life. This is not my idea of being a Christian. We're supposed to be builders and not destroyers. Huh? You have to live in a vision.
we're going to have to learn to live in a vision and not by what we see with our eyes, but what the Bible says. And that's going to take a little prayer, a little turning away from the TV. I'm in the mood now. I equate the TV with smoking and drinking and drugs. I mean, to me, it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. Well, I can't tear myself away. It's part of my psyche. Well, with some people, that's true of drugs, booze, cigarettes, fornication. It's all the same thing. It's all a world. It's all poison. You're not going to find Joel's Army on television. The world has no concept of God. And all you're seeing on the television is the world's concept. It's brainwashing you. Take the time and spend it in God. You've got to see into another world, into a visionary world. This stuff is going to get more and more straining your credulity. You know, you've got to go for this thing because it's different from the world. Really, think this makes any sense to the world? 5 years from now, everybody will be arresting me for brainwashing you the way it's going, huh? People will be kidnapping you or something to get you out of here. These people are crazy, you know. Christians are supposed to be nice. Nothing at all escapes them. Nothing at all. And why is that? Because today people can fool us. They can fool you in court. They can fool the judge. They can fool the jury. Well, what are you going to do with people who can read your heart and read your mind? You say, but I didn't do that. Yes, you did. This is when you did it, and this is what you did. A whole bunch of us were watching you at the time in the spirit realm. There's no place to go. I didn't steal it. Yes, you did. I know you did. This is where you've got it hidden. Can you imagine it? I mean, a thief has nowhere to go. Thieves and drunks and all the rest of them are usually all liars. And there'd be no lie. You won't be able to lie to one of these people. They're able to see it. So there's nothing hidden. Nothing escapes them. Isn't that wonderful? How many people have gotten by in this life with a big lie? Just gotten by. Lived their whole life with a big subterfuge. No more. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses. Well, we talked about that Tuesday night. And you have a choice. In Job 39, you can be an ostrich or you can be a horse. You can go around flapping your wings with opinions and plumage of love, or you can be the stallion of war. Yeah? Most of the charismatic churches is ostriches. Ostriches. They can run like 60, but they're no good in a fight. They're not stallions. If I read all about them in Job 39, the appearance of this people is not ostriches, horses. Praise the Lord. And like war horses, so they run, with the noises of chariots. Now, God, if he's making anything, he is making chariots. You remember Elijah? When he went up, Elisha's, the chariots of Israel. Well, God is making chariots, people. He's making vehicles who can run. And you read about the cherubim, the way they go. They run and return with a flash of light. Now, that's very important, that concept. They run and return with a flash of light. Why, Brother Thompson, is that so important? That is important because of a physical principle called inertia. How many know what inertia is? It is a tendency of a body at rest to remain at rest, and in motion to continue in the same direction at the same speed. That's what inertia is. The churches have suffered from inertia. Suffer from inertia. The flesh suffers from inertia. Once we get something going, we can't stop. You can't get us started, and when you do, we can't stop because we're not going with the Lord. Now, everything we do and every enterprise that we enter into as a church or as an individual, everything must always and continually be subject to the Lord. Now, you say, well, you never get anything done because you'll be too flighty. You do one thing one day and another thing the next. Well, we'll have to run the risk of being flighty. Because what happens with the churches is when they get in motion, they begin to grind something out and nothing can stop them. And the Lord leaves or takes a different direction and the church grinds on and on. So everything at all times must be brought up to the Lord. Because his chariots go and return with a flash of light. They don't just keep plugging on and plugging on and plugging on. Now there is virtue in constancy. And there is virtue in people who are solid and dependable, who are not changeable. There certainly is virtue in that. But where the Spirit is moving, there, and the people, especially in positions of leadership, and everyone for that matter, must be instantly aware of what God is doing, because he'll work in a certain direction, and then he'll leave it and go in another direction. And then he'll leave it and go in another direction. That's the way God does, because he's doing something that is inscrutable and we can't see it. So we have to be sensitive to this. We are not somebody working for God. We are the chariot of God. And when God says turn, we turn. Turn, we turn. Go back, we go back. Forward, we go forward. If we do that, we'll escape the curse of denominationalism, which is to go on and on and on and on, begging for money, pleading for help, long after God has left. Do you know what I'm talking about? Get yourself halfway into something and then God wants you to go another direction and you're not hearing from God and you keep on going, your funds are going to dry up every time. When we're in the Lord's will, the funds don't dry up. Then you've got to start pleading for money. That's why groups plead for money, because they started in the Lord and then the Lord says that's enough and they can't quit. Noises of chariots. They leap on the tops of the mountains. Mountains in the scripture stand for government. They leap on them, the tops of the mountains. No government will be able to stand against them. You think of that happening in reality. Think of that happening 10 years from now. Can you imagine the destruction, the resistance, as the nations try to keep their way against the Lord Jesus? Like the crackling of a flame of fire consuming the stubble. Wherever God's presence goes, the consuming fire. Everything that is not based in the Lord Jesus will be destroyed. Now, the Lord told the nations when he ascended, he said, all authority and power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go and teach the nations, baptizing them, the nations. Now, some nations of history have accepted. Today, there's not many nations that except. Now, there are still small groups that turn wholesale to the Lord, villages and things, but the big Western nations have no intention of following Jesus whatsoever. But he warned them, I have all authority and power in heaven and earth. Bow the knee. Learn. Do what I said. That's the king giving those orders. You think America's going to listen to that? Germany? Russia? Going to listen to who? Jesus? Well, they're going to pay, because he told them. And whatever is not based in him is going to be destroyed. Nothing will stand the shaking that's coming. Nothing in the heavens, nothing in the earth that is not based in Jesus. Nothing in your life or mine, nothing in our lives that has not been died, and been raised again in the Lord. Relationships, things, possessions, ambitions, ministries, roles, they have to go down to death and be raised up again by the Lord. Or when he comes, it will be stubble. Like a mighty people. A mighty people. Where in the world is God going to come up with a mighty people? Arranged for battle. Warriors. It's a different concept from being a Christian. No man that is a soldier entangles himself with life. Are you willing Are you willing to turn over your life to God? Are you willing to be a soldier? It means that your way of life changes. You can't pursue the ordinary life, family life, raising children, sending them off into marriage, settling down and retiring. In that sense, you can't do it and be a soldier. Your mind will be split. It will be divided. Your mind and heart will be divided between your normal life in this nation and God's demands on you. And God's demands on you will seem distressing. Distressing. Why can't I be left alone? The reason is because there's a war. If there was no war, yes. And you'll have all eternity to rest. You have eternal life. We are in, as Paul says, a distress. Jesus is not recognized in the world. Jesus is not recognized by his own people, the Jews. And the Lord is me. I need people. If he is going to come alone and do it, he would have done it 2,000 years ago. He needs this army of people. It just isn't going to work with the Lord doing it. He needs people who can go and take care of these people and judge between them and condemn the wicked and protect the righteous. He needs people to go out into every nation. He's not going to use angels. He could use angels, but he's going to use people. And he's waiting, patiently waiting, until his enemies are put under his feet, until he can take over the governments of the world. And most of all, probably, until the Jewish people throw up their hands and say, he is our Messiah, Yeshua is the Messiah, Yeshua is the Messiah. I believe in the near future that Israel is going to become the mightiest among the nations. I believe that. A mighty nation. Strong, militarily strong, economically. I believe that's coming. I believe God's blessing on them. But they are not going to, for that, because of that, welcome the Christians. They have just passed the law that you cannot, it's a Supreme Court. You cannot be a Jew and a Christian. They've gone the wrong way. Again, they have rejected Yeshua. I do not say that to condemn them at all, but it is going to cause problems. And so we don't know what God is doing or how he's going to do it. But again, they have set their face against the Lord. And the Lord needs you and he needs me to turn aside from the customary little things which pass away with the using. God will give us all of that we need to live a normal life. We've got to get our attention on this warfare. On learning obedience, a strong people set in battle array. Shall we stand? The issue today is this. If there is in us sin, we weaken the hands of the men of war. We cannot march with Joel's army because it will make it subject to an invasion by the enemy. As happened with Achan. Achan sinned, but it caused all of Israel to lose. And that's not going to be in Joel's army. Self-seeking, jockeying for position, cannot be in Joel's army. We've got to give up and take the lowest place and just let God have his way. God's building an army, a great people and a strong. I don't think there'll be many come out of America. It's not going that way. And so it's kind of every man for himself. Just attending this church won't do it for you. All we're doing is blowing the trumpet. And myself, too, I've got to look to myself that I don't at any point. Don't you think Satan doesn't keep on my case continually? Look at this. Look at that. What about this? All the time. It never lets up. We have to stay with it. Stay with it, because the battle isn't over yet. It hasn't even begun yet. He's making soldiers. Praise the Lord. If you're here this morning and your heart is not geared to war, but you're thinking, oh, let's see now, what will I do? How will I plan my year out? I have vacation, I have this and that. If that's, I'm not against vacation, I'm not against anything. It's an attitude of the heart. If your heart is not steadfast on this being a soldier, you need to come up this morning and ask God. Hallelujah. Anybody needs to come this morning, the altar's open. You can come up and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be in the army of the Lord. I want to be in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that Jesus will have me to be a chariot to work through, and he won't have to put up with all my personal plans. After I have my vacation, and after I do this, and after I do that, then I'm going to come and serve the Lord. It isn't going to happen, people. It isn't going to happen. Life doesn't work like that. This morning, now, you have to say, Lord, this is it. Let's shell down the corn. Now is the time. I am telling you, I am going to be a soldier. And I'm going to endure hardness. And I'm not going to entangle myself. But I'm going to live to please God and do his will, so that I won't put in jeopardy the whole army of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. And your commandments are not grievous. Lord, it is a blessing and a joy to us to be able to turn over our lives to you, Lord, and to say whatever it is that you want. Hallelujah. You've got it, Lord. You've got it. We're ready to lay down, Lord, our lives, our plans, our hopes, our ambitions for the time being, until your will is done in the earth. Hallelujah. Until the Jews receive you as Messiah. Hallelujah. Until the earth acknowledge you as their rightful king. Lord, we will not rest. Hallelujah. We will not rest until God makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Hallelujah. Until the word of the Lord goes forth from Zion. Praise your name, Lord, in the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, this is our ambition and our energy and our desire and our goal. Hallelujah. That your will may be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah, Lord. Count us in your army, Lord. Count us in as people, Lord, who will turn aside, Lord, from the ease and affluence of America. Hallelujah. And who will go out seeking the people of God to suffer affliction with Israel. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we give ourselves to you this morning, Lord. We give ourselves, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Let your fire be upon us, Lord. Let your fire be upon us, Lord. Burn that which is flammable, Lord. Burn that which is not of you, Lord. Burn the worldliness. Burn the sin. Burn the self-seeking, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We want to walk with the everlasting burning. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. We want to walk in the fire of God at all times, day and night. Hallelujah. Day and night, night and day. Till your fire burns on us, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Make us thy fire, O God. Hallelujah. Make us thy fire in the earth, O Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Oh, God, make us your fire in the earth. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I'm going to consider us dismissed. You can stay as long as you want to and pray. But don't leave this church if your heart is divided. Make it right. We don't know how long we have. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Lord, we give praise unto you, Lord. Oh, God, baptize us with thy fire. Baptize us with thy fire, Lord. God, give us a heart, Lord. Give us that inner iron, Lord, that we can make up our minds what we're doing, Lord. That we can make up our minds, Lord, and go straight down with you. Yeah.